I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome in to episode 3 of the Players Lounge, a collaborative effort between Inside Carolina and Hills for Life. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Joey Powell. If you're watching us on the YouTube version of this, you see the man in the middle, Caleb Hood. Caleb,
good. How are you?
We are well here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys. If folks are listening and have not checked out myself and Taylor Viplis talked to Drake May a couple weeks ago, Joey Powell and Vip talked to Cayman Rucker last week. Like I said, this is episode 3. Joey, just before we get into it, tell everybody how important the collaboration with Hills for Life is, doing these podcasts, but not only that, for North Carolina football as well.
You know, you've seen on the IC message boards and just in general conversation around Carolina football, everybody wants to make sure, you know, that the NIL world is equal in Chapel Hill as it is everywhere else. Well, this is the way to do it. Support Heels for Life. Heels for Life is the official NIL collective for Carolina football. They help not only, you know, make sure the players are having chance to make some money off their own name, image, and likeness. But they also connect these players with, you know, nonprofit organizations and chances to do good work in their community. But it's just an all-around good organization. And if you'd like to be a part of it, go to heelsforlife.org. See it right there on the screen. Or if you're not watching us and you're listening, heels4life.org. Find out how you can contribute and how you can get more involved. Tommy, I got to say, before we get off into this, I know usually you're kind of, you know, carrying the flag of being the old man here. But I want to start and say I had classes with Errol Hood. He and I were in French class and something else together my freshman year of school. So this has got me in the Tommy Ashley chair feeling really old right now. So well, Tommy, I'm gonna sit back and lick my wounds and let you start driving right now, because man, I am all kinds of in my feelings.
Well, let me tell you, at least you were in school when he was. I was doing this stuff when he was playing. And I know, Caleb, you always hear about people remembering your pops and all that, but just what's your first memory of the game of football growing up in a football household?
My first memory of football is I played soccer, when I first started playing sports. And I remember I was it was one game. I wasn't paying attention really good. I was like, there was a football practice going on like on the bottom field where I was playing at. I just kept watching the game, like, during my soccer game. And then I ended up accidentally kicking the ball on the wrong goal. And then, like, I remember the game after that, my mom was like, yeah, we're going to sign you up for football. And, you know, it's pretty much been going after that. So
growing up down there in Richmond County, I mean, we were talking a little bit off the air. My memories of Richmond County football, Mike Thomas, Oscar Sturgis, I think Norwood played down there. Just ridiculous football. What was it like growing up in that environment and then having the opportunity to put on that uniform and really have such success that you did?
It was awesome, you know, growing up and seeing those Friday night games. You know, you just wanted to play in those games, you know, when you got older. And, you know, I had the chance. My grandpa, he was the coach for a while, and he ended up moving to Edenton. And, you know, I had to make a tough decision on, you know, if I wanted to play with him or if I wanted to, you know, stay and then play at Richmond County. And, you know, just growing up there and then building chemistry with a lot of friends and stuff, playing AAU ball and stuff like that, you know, I just decided to stay. And, you know, it pretty much worked out. I had a great time, you know, made a lot of memories, and it was really fun. So
we talked about your dad earlier. You know, obviously he had his own path at Carolina, but yeah. Once you got into football, was it always going to be Chapel Hill for you? Was it always going to be Carolina Blue? Was it always going to be UNC?
Pretty much, you know, I mean, it wasn't really like his decision or my family's decision. You know, me and my brothers and sisters, you know, we've always been huge Carolina fans, ride or die. So it wasn't really necessarily like I had to go to Carolina, but, you know, I just, you know, it was my dream growing up. And once I got the opportunity, I couldn't really turn it down, especially with Coach Brown coming back. So
I think one of the things a lot of people don't appreciate is that there can sometimes be extra pressure when you're coming in as a legacy. Did you ever feel that, or what was that like for you?
It wasn't really like necessarily pressure. I know like going on other visits, like I had like coaches like tell me like, oh yeah, I know your dad went to Carolina, but you know, you still want to try to get you over here and stuff. And, but I mean, it was kind of like, it kind of felt more awkward going to other schools and stuff, but you know, I never really felt any like pressure, so to speak.
When you were being recruited, first of all, what other schools were in the mix for you? I mean, Carolina was it, but what other schools tried? And then how big a deal was it for you? You played quarterback in high school, really did everything in high school, but you ultimately switched to running back. How big a deal was the quarterback factor in your recruitment?
You know, early in my like high school career, it was kind of important to me. Like, I felt like, you know, I wanted to play quarterback. And then part of it was just trying to, you know, prove to myself that I could play quarterback on the college level and, like, you know, just get college attention as a quarterback. And then, you know, I, like, started realizing that, you know, it might benefit me more if I, like, would, like, you know, branch out and just tell coaches that I would, like, be willing to play another position. And that kind of ended up working out with some other schools. But I just wanted to prove to myself that I could play quarterback, you know, at the next level. But other than that, like, it didn't really have, like, that much of an effect.
Random question. If you did not go to Carolina, where might you have gone? Put you on the spot.
I don't really know. I know I liked Tennessee. They came in late, you know, like, after I, like, committed. They came in late. And so Michigan State, probably one of those, maybe Tennessee, because I mean, I like the mountains. It's a great environment up there. So
that's interesting. I always ask people because people always assume that legacies like yourself are they're going to Carolina. I mean, all the discussion about Drake and all that noise in the offseason, I mean, it's Carolina legacy. There's one place for him to play. So it's interesting to hear you talk about another school. What's the transition been like? I mean, you're a couple years in now, but you're still sort of making that transition to running back. Has it been difficult for you not having the ball in your hands every single play on the college level, or has it been good for you in that regard?
I feel like it's been pretty good for me, you know, just, you know, seeing everything through a different perspective. You know, obviously, you love having the ball in your hands every single play. But, you know, I get to make plays more using my athletic ability. And now, like, in high school, you know, I was kind of, like, dishing it off, getting it to my playmakers. So now I'm kind of one of those playmakers for Drake. And, you know, it's fun, though. It's definitely been challenging. You know, I didn't get hit in practice at all. And I only got hit – I didn't get hit really on Fridays until, like, probably near the playoffs. So so it's definitely been different, you know, just hitting – and, you know, having contact every single day. And, you know, I run a lot more at running back than I did in practice at high school and quarterback. So it's definitely a lot different, but it's really fun. So
I think it's a lot of folks probably don't realize that not only were you a quarterback in high school, you put up some gaudy numbers as a quarterback in high school. I mean, some, you know, record-breaking, like state record book type numbers. So, you know, making that transition, what's something that you were able to hang on to as a high school quarterback that now makes you a better running back? What are some things you were able to pull through, you know, once you made that change, that maybe, is it seeing the field? Is it understanding, you know, is understanding which way movement's going to go? Is it understanding, you know, what the quarterback's thinking? Help us understand the through line from going to a quarterback to a running back.
So I feel like, you know, just playing quarterback overall, you know, it helped me like see the field better. I know, like, pass protection wise, you know, it helped me see like the way, like, you pick up blitzes and who the offensive line has, who the running back has, and then who the quarterback has a pass off of. So I feel like that definitely played like a big role in making that part of the game a lot easier for me. You know, just seeing defensive tendencies and stuff like that, it definitely helped. You know, just having to like be aware of all those things. And, you know, so it just, you know, it kind of just sped up the process of like having to like worry about all that other stuff. So it made it a lot easier on me whenever I had to play running back, because I was basically just responsible for one position instead of everybody else on the field. So.
You talked about how you didn't get hit in high school, and then, you know, you really didn't get touched on Fridays until you guys were getting close to playoff time. Help us understand what's something that maybe you didn't expect about the position change, or was there a day where you're now in the running back group and somebody lights you up and you just weren't expecting it? Like, share one of those memories with us, and kind of the moment was like, okay, I'm not a QB anymore.
It was probably the first day of padded practice. We had like a perimeter drill, and I was like rolling out to like block. It was a dude named Kadri Jackson. He transferred, but he lit me up, and my coach Porter, he got on me. I was like, yeah, I gotta do something. This ain't fun. But yeah, it definitely woke me up, and I was like, yeah, like you gotta be physical every single play. It's a physical position. It's obviously a physical game. But, you know, once you kind of get that down, you get comfortable with that. You know, obviously, you can't just have, like, one good practice, one physical practice, and come back and go, oh, I'm just going to be solved today. Like, you got to bring it every day. So it's definitely different from that aspect.
What would you say that was your welcome to college moment there in practice?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I had a few, but, you know, that was probably the one I was like, oh, yeah. Because my family was there. Everybody was watching the stuff, so I was like, dang, like
I remember you thumped somebody in one of those open practices, and everybody was like, oh, that's nice there. But on the field in a game, you know, I think about the App State run, but when did you realize, man, I'm a college running back, and I'm a pretty good college running back?
It was definitely the App game. I mean, I know I had like a pretty decent game against Virginia my freshman year, but I was kind of like, just, I didn't really know what was going on. I was just, you know, running around. I like a chicken with his head cut off. You know, I didn't really – I was just excited to be out there. But, you know, probably definitely the App game. You know, I felt like I was not necessarily like – I mean, I know I had a few big runs, but I felt like I was being consistent and, like, you know, just managing everything pretty good. So that's definitely when I felt like I was like, all right, I think I can do this. So
the App State game, you called it out. There was the long run where you came up 3 yards short of taking it to the house. I know how college football players are. Which teammate, when you came to the sidelines, was in your ear the most about not getting across the white line and getting six there?
My roommate, Diego. Diego Pounds, he was talking trash. But basically, all my roommates, we're all really close. Him and JJ Jones. Yeah, they were definitely letting me hear like for probably about a week or two.
I think Tommy's alluding to it a little bit. You know, that App game kind of was your coming out party. You're right. And, mm-hmm. and I think that something you've been able to do in making that transition from quarterback to running back is you're not afraid to lower your head on somebody. You know, you've got good size on you. You know, your lower body's pretty thick. You're able to lower the boom when you have to. How do you get from being a quarterback who doesn't get touched to turning into a running back that has to, on occasion, truck somebody? What's the change there mentally?
I mean, you know, I didn't really like I wasn't necessarily like one of those run you over type of guys in high school. I was always a juker. I was on like 205, like 210. So I was mostly like, I would either try to outrun you or like juke you or something. I wasn't really going to try to shuck you or anything. Now, you know, our coach really emphasizes, you know, physicality and stuff like that. And you miss, I mean, I'm a bigger guy. So obviously now everybody's faster. So that, I mean, that's really like the main thing. Everybody's fast. So like, I'm just like, all right, I just got to run through them. I can't really outrun them now. I got to do something else. So that's kind of where that comes from now.
When you look at your career thus far, you've had some injuries. You've had, you know, the App State, everybody's, you know, jacked up. You know, Hood's going to be a great running back. He's going to do well. And then you've had some untimely injuries. What's that been like mentally and personally dealing with those type things? I mean, football is a contact sport. And like you mentioned earlier, when you're a running back, you're getting hit all the time. But as far as getting injured and missing time, how's that been for you mentally going through that process?
It's definitely frustrating. I know, because, you know, we all work hard, whether you play or not. All these guys work hard. We all work extremely hard just to, you know, just to even be on the team. And, you know, it's just frustrating. Even if you don't play, you know, getting hurt and then you can't participate in practice or anything. So, I remember, I said in me and JJ's podcast, Alex Mars, when I first got here, he was, like, talking to, like, me, and I can't remember who else. He was, like, he pointed, like, to some red jerseys. He was like, you don't want to be in those. That's the easiest way, you know, to get on a coach's bad side. And then I was like, all right, noted. And then, you know, that obviously ended up happening to me a few times. So, well, I mean, more than a few, you know. But it's definitely been frustrating. But, you know, just having that support system. I mean, everybody on the team, like, you know, they support me, the trainers. You know, we have our own, like, people you can see for that stuff, for mental health. And, you know, they just did all the coaching and everything, just did a good job, you know, keeping everything positive, you know. So it's definitely been hard, but at the same time, you know, stuff happens. Everything happens for a reason, you know. I believe that God doesn't put you through anything that you can't overcome. So, and I got that tatted on my arm. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's definitely from my experience. Talking to guys in your shoes, that's definitely, you got to have that mindset, because it can be rough, especially on young athletes. And you've been through it all so far. Carolina's got a new offense, relatively new offense. Chip Lindsey's come in. He's one of the changes this year. Just looking, you know, at your running back room, and then with Chip Lindsey and Randy Clements on the offensive line, What will change this year for North Carolina fans looking at Carolina's offense? And I think the general thought is Lindsey doesn't need to screw it up, you know. But when you look down at it a lot, there are a lot of improvements that can be made. What have you seen in the spring and over the course of the summer so far, improvements that we might see as far as the running game for North Carolina?
That's basically it. You know, they put a big emphasis on the running game. You know, we have a lot of different, you know, types of runs and stuff we can do to run the ball. You know, passing game, you know, that is what it is. It's kind of, you know, we might tweak some things here and there for the passing game. But other than that, it's really, you know, honestly, just the running game, you know, just, I mean, not even, I mean, as much as we, you know, we can change and do whatever, I guess, you know, we just got to, you know, keep pushing forward and, like, just, you know, you just – running the ball is kind of – so it's a physical thing, you know, so we just got to, you know, work at it and, you know, just get through it. So,
Caleb, you guys have a very, very crowded running back room, but in a sense, you guys are all different. What's something that you feel like every other guy in that room brings to the offense that's different from the guy next to him?
You know, I feel like – you know, George, he's really quick, super fast, probably one of the fastest on the team and quickest on the team. British, he's, you know, obviously he's a veteran. You know, I learned most of everything from him. Obviously he's super strong. He's fast. Amarion, he has it all pretty much. He's a great running back and he's young, he's growing. Elijah, you know, he's also a veteran. He's super fast as well. you know, and he brings a lot to the table mentally. And he's just his preparation. Obviously, you see last year, not playing much, and then at the end of the season, getting thrown in there, and you know, he was ready. So, you know, that speaks volumes on him. And then me, I feel like I'm a pretty good pass catcher out the backfield, and I feel like I'm pretty balanced. But you know, I feel like at the end of the day, you know, we all got to be ready, because you know, at running back, you never know. You see, last year, a few of us got banged up. British got out, I got out. So you know, you just got to be ready. So, but I feel like it, all of us, you know, have something to bring to the table. So,
one of the things about running backs are they all become squat rack freaks, right? Like, as soon as you make that, you know, as soon as you make that change, everybody wants to see who's got the strongest lower body in the room. Who's the strongest out of y'all? Who's right now? If all of y'all go to Coach Hess,
definitely Marion. That dude is a freak. Like, he's strong. He's strong, yeah, for sure.
When you look at a guy like him, I mean, I feel like you've got a little more shiftiness. You mentioned your quarterback skills and doing that. If you had to be a scout and you had to tell your guys, and this might be a tough question, but I want you to be honest if you can, how would those guys in the room, not named Caleb Hood, improve? I think Omarion's vision probably is near the top. In high school at Cleveland, he was used to just plowing everybody. And it doesn't happen in college, but it's just sort of break down the room that way. And you can start with Omarion, and you know, to see him improve and get better in the offseason and look better at on the field, what does he need to do?
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, coming in freshman year, I mean, it can be a lot. You know, I feel like, you know, just, you know, seeing things better. I mean, obviously, everybody can work on their vision. You know, sometimes, you know, just you're overwhelmed with stuff. And then, you know, it clouds your mind. You're like, you know, you get in your own head. But, you know, he'll be fine. You know, he played football pretty much his whole life. So he'll be fine. You know, George, he's obviously a really talented guy. You know, I think me and him both, you know, had to work on pass protection. But other than that, he has pretty much all of it. I think he's going to be really special. Elijah, you know, obviously he's been playing a lot. He played a lot towards the end of the season. I mean, I don't really know how to, like, you know, but I don't know. He's really fast. So I'm trying to think of something that he can improve on. I know all of us are, you know, trying to make a big emphasis on pass protection. So that's one thing that everybody in the whole room could pretty much improve on, except for British. Probably he's a stud when it comes to pass protection. And then me and BB right now, you know, we're just trying to get back out there and stay healthy for, you know, a season. So, you know, he was out all last year. You know, he just wants to, you know, come back, and he had a really breakout game against State, and then against South Carolina. You know, I know he's just itching to get back out there and finish his last year. And, you know, I'm excited to get back out there as well. You know, I haven't really had like a full healthy season yet. So, hopefully we can, you know, get some momentum going towards the fall and, you know, stay healthy.
How important is it for every player, but players that have dealt with injuries or whatever misgivings or misfortunes they have, to have guys that have been through it? I mean, British has been around for a long time. He was ready for a breakout season, like you mentioned, and then he goes out all year. But you get to see him up front, up close, deal with it, process it, and work through it. How big a deal is that for you and other players on this roster?
Oh, huge. You know, just, I mean, a guy like that, he could have easily been like, whatever, like, I'm done with this, and I, you know, be negative about it. But he was positive. He, you know, he came in every day. He coached us. Like, he helped, like, all, like, every practice. He was in every meeting. You know, he was always there. And, you know, he was, you could tell he had that. He was itching to get better and, you know, just get back out there. And, you know, he's pretty much fully healthy now. You know, he's getting back to, you know, full strength. So it's really good to see, you know, because it's not all the time you see guys just be positive about stuff like that, because it can really affect you mentally. And so it's great to see.
Caleb, you were talking about pass protection, and let's look at the trophy in the room. When you've got a Heisman hopeful and Drake May taking snaps.
Yeah.
You,
so.
does that change? Does that give you extra pressure? You know, when you see him as one of the top two, you know, one of the top two favorites from Vegas to win the trophy, how does that change how y'all handle pass protection? Does it, do you hear a little more from the coaches? Do you hear a little more from, you know, from your offensive coordinator about, hey, we got to clean this up, or he can't get touched, or does that cause you guys to put more pressure on yourselves?
To an extent, but you know, that's always been, you know, when Coach Porter came in here, he always emphasized pass protection first, you know, protecting the ball and pass protection. So, but at the same time, you know, now, like, I mean, he's obviously, he's up there with the best of them, Drake. So, you know, you got to protect him or you can't win. So he needs time. You give him time. Obviously, you see what he can do. So, so yeah, it definitely, there's some pressure on you, you know, just to, you know, not even for yourself, but, you know, just for the whole offense in general, because if you miss a block or something and everybody else has them and then, like, the play's bad because of you, you know, it's some pressure on you, so.
Well, so staying there, what's the flip side of it? You are playing with a Heisman hopeful. You're playing with a, you know, record-setting yeah. quarterback. How do you feel as a guy who gets to play with him, who does, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield quite a bit? How much does that fire you up? How much do you guys enjoy being able to jump on a highlight reel just because of who you got calling signals?
Like, it was awesome. You know, he brings that intensity every day. And he's a super competitor, whether we're playing football in practice, intramural basketball, whether we're like golfing or something. Like, he's a competitor. He's definitely up there with the best of them. So, you know, you see him up there and you just want to be better. He makes everybody better around him. So, you know, it's awesome to have, you know, a guy like that leading your team. So, at the end of the day, you know, we got to protect him, and, you know, good things will happen.
When people talk about North Carolina football, they talk about the offense like we've done on this podcast and in plenty of other podcasts, but all the naysayers want to talk about the defense and how the defense was not good last year at times. There were some highlights. There were certainly some positive moments. But what have you seen from the defensive side of the ball? I asked Drake the other day, how has the defense looked? Because he sees them every day going up against them. And he felt like North Carolina's defense was sort of closing the gaps a little bit where the money plays. Anybody that's played Madden or any of those video games know that you go with this play, you're going to get that yards and all that. And he said the defense has done a good job of eliminating those. From the running back position, what have you seen from the defensive side of the ball that maybe can help North Carolina fans have a little bit higher expectations from Jaden Chizik's group in 2023?
I mean, just overall, I mean, they looked a lot better this spring. I mean, and I mean, not, you can't really knock on them. You know, the offense nowadays, I mean, you know, you see like every game, like, you know, teams are scoring like 40, 50 points. You know, the lowest you see now is like you see 21 points on the board, 28 points. You're like, oh, the offense had a bad game. So, like, now, I mean, a lot of people say it's the defense, but, like, you mean, that's just how the offenses work now. Like, it's not really a lot you can do. But this spring, you know, they look really good. You know, up front, they look really good, refreshed. A lot of guys rotating and stuff like that. You know, just on all cylinders, they look really good. So,
okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
I want you to give me a player on each side of the ball. It cannot be yourself, and it can't be Drake. And we'll say it can't be Sed or Power on defense because everybody's going to pick those. But give me a player on offense and a player on defense that you think that in December of this year, after the season, North Carolina fans will be talking about that guy was special in 2023.
On offense, Ted Walker. That dude, he's gonna make some plays this year for us. He's been really good. And besides Power and Sed on defense, definitely probably Elijah Huzzy. He's he came in. He's really good. His footwork's really nice. We needed like a dog like that at corner. To come in and shut a side down. He coming from a smaller school. I feel like his mindset. He wants to prove something. To everybody. So he's definitely a dog, and I've seen flashes from him this spring, so hopefully I think he'll pretty much have a big year.
Tommy, we are 3-for-3 in mentions of Elijah Huzzy on this podcast. Yep. Drake, Kamen, and now Caleb have all mentioned Huzzy as a breakout player on the defense. So for those who are listening and or watching this show, consider that what you will when you start getting amped for what the fall is going to look like. I'm going to throw you a softball here, Caleb. What play call, if you hear, and I realize, some things will change with the new offensive coordinator, but what's a play call when you hear it, you're like, you just get jacked about, all right, this is, whether it's one where you're going to get a chance to hit somebody, where it's one that you're probably going to have a chance to get a touch. Like, you tell me, what's the play when you hear it in the huddle, you're like, oh, yeah.
Any type of counter or power. I love gap scheme runs. They're always my favorite runs. Even a quarterback at high school, we put in a bunch of, quarterback power, quarterback counter runs, either that or some type of wheel route. You're like, oh, I got a chance to go up and get it real quick. But, those are always the ones that open your eyes a little bit. You're like, oh yeah, this might be able to make a play here.
All right. I might ask you to be a little bit vulnerable too. Who's somebody when you see lined up on the other side of the field and you're going to have to go man to man with him, you're like, okay, this might be tough.
Oh, definitely Power. He brings it every day. So, you see him, you're like, oh, you got to bring it because he's going to bring it. So I definitely say Power.
Who's more intense, Drake May or Power Eccles?
Probably definitely Power. He always brings it every day. Not that Drake doesn't, but it's different. Power, he's always yelling and he's always fired up. So I don't know. I feel like sometimes he might wake up and just yell sometimes. But that's how he is. So
that's funny. I've not seen him not intense ever being around the program. It's funny when you talk about those guys. From a college student perspective, I always tell people, and I said this to Drake and I say it to everybody, is college athletes are just regular students with a talent. They've got more talent in football or basketball than most people do. Therefore, they play on a team. What's it like being a college student, A, that plays a sport, but being just a college student at University of North Carolina?
That's fun. You get to, meet new people. You get to come to a prestigious college like UNC, get a great education. So, football doesn't work. You got school to fall back on in your degree. So, it's a great place, a great place to be. I've made great friends, a bunch of friends that, aren't even involved in football at all. It's been a fun ride, and I can't wait to, just keep it going.
What's it like having brother at school with you and on the team with you?
It's awesome. Yeah, we got to push the running back. And, I get to, kind of bring him in under my wing and, just show him the ways because he was a receiver and now he switched to running back. And, you know, he got some playing time in the spring game. I was proud of him. You know, he was excited. But, yeah, it's awesome, you know, just, you know, getting to see him every day, you know, because I, you know, after my coming in during COVID, when I came early and skipped my senior season, I didn't know if I'd get to play with him again. You know, now we're back on the same team for a few more years. So, you know, we got a few more years left now.
Hey, look, now that there's two Hood boys in Chapel Hill, go ahead and you can spill the tea. Like, Earl's basically got an apartment up here again, doesn't he? Or is he staying with y'all? Like, is your dad basically just moving back to Chapel Hill now just to be at practice all the time?
Oh, no, he's definitely at practice every day. You know, he'll make the drive. He lives in Southern Pines, though. But he makes that drive every day, especially this spring, this past spring. He was up there every single practice. So,
yeah, he's always sharing highlights of you guys, and he's clearly your biggest fan. And, you know, tell us a little bit, what does it mean to have a guy, you know, we talked about the legacy piece before, but what does it mean now to have, you know, your number one fan is a guy who has worn the uniform, who has walked through the tunnel, who has been on the same campus as a student as you are? You know, how much of that do you feel a special connection to your dad because of those things? And are you guys sharing stories over some of that? Or do you still feel like, nah, he's an old head. I just let him do his thing and I'll do my thing.
You know, definitely my mom and my sister Kylie are definitely tied with my dad for a number one fan. But yeah, sometimes, you know, he tells me some stories sometimes, but, you know, I kind of just keep his. He keeps his all his stories and I got mine. But definitely Coach Bly, he used to actually tell me, like, stories about him and my dad all the time before he left. And every time my dad would come up, they'd laugh and, like, talk about, you know, their stories and stuff. But, you know, it's just, you know, I'm making my memories with, you know, all my friends. My dad loves Carolina. He comes back and sees his guys all the time, come back to games and stuff. You know, I think they have, like, some alumni tent. They go there at halftime or whatever. I know him and my brother talked about that my freshman year. But, yeah, it's great having, you know, my dad played here. You know, just getting to, you know, hear about that and come in games when I was younger as well. So it's just been awesome.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast a couple of years ago. Yeah, and he spoke highly of that. I mean, of course, North Carolina fans remember the NC State play in Charlotte when he and David Bodmar ended North Carolina State's chances of coming back there. Before we get out of here, and we're talking with Caleb Hood, North Carolina running back, Hills for Life, has set this up and helped us with these and then collaborated with us for these great podcasts with North Carolina players. Tell us about your podcast with JJ Jones that you guys do.
Yeah, why are you coming for our job, Caleb?
Yeah, really. I mean, y'all could just come on this one. But no, seriously, tell us what it's about, what you guys are hoping to accomplish and get forth to the masses in that arena.
Well, so, I mean, me and JJ, we're both, we love to talk, you know, on the camera and stuff, you know, just – and, like, growing up, I know, you know, talking to him, like, me and him, I used to look up, like, what it was like to, you know, be a college athlete, day in life, stuff like that, and, like, just hear, like, athletes talk and, like, about their stories and stuff. Like, I'd, like get a snack and just eat and just watch, like, a podcast or, you know, I watch, like, Bustin' with the Boys, stuff like that, some just, you know, athletic podcasts, like, you know, athletes that start their own thing. So we just want to, you know, get our stories out and just answer any question that anybody has about us, like get ourselves out there. But we, you know, we just love talking his community. I mean, his major, yeah. Media and journalism and minus communication. So, you know, we like talking to people and, you know, just telling stories. So we're just trying to get that out there and, you know, hopefully we can do something with it.
So football career plays out however it does. What's the future away from football look like for Caleb Hood?
My dream job is to be a ESPN sports analyst like Coach Brown was. I think that's really cool. So, you know, hopefully I can maybe go to the NFL for a few years and then fall back and be an analyst or some sort, even if it's like ACC Network, something like that.
He really does want our job, Tommy.
He's trying, yeah. I mean, look, Mac goes from coaching all his life to doing it to back to coaching. So, hey, man, it obviously is a pretty good gig if you can get it. And, you know, I always like seeing athletes in the journalism and the Mijo type stuff, because it's a natural fit. What's the worst thing, Joey, that you want to hear? You want to hear somebody that never played the game talk about the game.
Yeah.
Whereas
I don't want to hear from me.
Yeah. Caleb, a couple more questions, a couple fun questions. I'm going to let Joey ask the one on my list here, but video games, do you play them? And how competitive does it get? And what do you guys play when you have downtime?
I definitely play Fortnite. If I got some free time, my girlfriend hates when I'm on there, cause I'll be on there for hours, but, I'll be on there for a while. Me and JJ, you know, Geo Biggers, Drake, some of us, we're always on Fortnite, either that or Madden or 2K or something like that. But mostly Fortnite though, for sure.
So
what's on the Netflix? If you're watching something on streaming, what do you guys watch there in the house?
Most of some crime stuff, like some investigation stuff. I was watching like The Night Agent, something like that. A few weeks ago, that was really good. So,
all right, so you got a day off. You know, you mentioned golfing earlier. I'm not going to let you sleep. What are you going to do on your day off? You know, when you don't have to report, you know, you don't have to go to the training table or anything like that. What are you doing on your day off?
Now I'm probably going to go to the driver range. I just learned how to play actually like last weekend. So it's fun. Like it's addicting. So I went to Drive Shack like a few days ago, that I went to the driving range and started practicing, but I was outside like swinging my clubs yesterday, just in the grass. So definitely probably go play golf or something somewhere.
Don't do it, man.
Don't look out.
You're gonna be our age. You're gonna play. You're gonna stink all day. You're gonna hit one good shot and say, "I got to come back, man. I can do it."
I feel like I almost got this thing licked because of one shot you hit on, you know, somewhere on a course of 80 or 90 some strokes. You're going to hit one shot and feel like you can get your tour card tomorrow. All right. So you've got a free meal somewhere in Chapel Hill. All right. Where are you going and what are you going to go eat?
I don't want to sound fat, but dude, cookout is my go-to. Like if I'm like, all right, I'm hungry. I want cookout. But recently I've been going to Cava, get like a little chicken and rice bowl with spinach and corn. And some cheese with some Greek vinaigrette sauce, whatever you call it. That's been fire too. So, but I'd definitely say cookout.
See, Tommy, he's growing up now. He's getting to be an upperclassman. He knows how to give that like nutritionist friendly answer, but also he's still got the underclassman in where he gives the immediate knee jerk reaction of cookout. What's on your cookout tray?
All right, so this is all my friends laugh whenever I order it. I get a cheeseburger tray. Or a big double burger tray, whichever one. But I get like three pieces of extra cheese. I love cheese. That's like my favorite thing. I get three pieces of cheese, and then I get slaw and ketchup, and then I get Cajun fries and a corn dog with a sweet tea.
Yeah, the man, he's pumping the calories in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just had a
small coronary listening to that story. So nice job.
I mean, I go for the bacon wraps. The ranch bacon wraps are great. And then I looked and see how much calories they have. And I'm like, yeah, they're not as good as they sounded. And at least you don't get four quesadillas like a certain Inside Carolina podcast person does. It's like,
yeah.
All right. So training table meal in the football center. What's good? What's not?
Definitely chicken Alfredo. They got some good chicken Alfredo with some broccoli. You know, throw some fruit in there too, and that's a pretty good meal right there. So, and I just love chicken Alfredo.
You know, wait, you throw fruit into chicken Alfredo, or you mean fruit on the side?
No, just on like the side or something like that.
Okay, you said throw some fruit in there, and I thought I had lost complete touch with what the kids are doing these days.
not in the Alfredo.
So just to wrap, and again, we're talking with Caleb Hood, Heels for Life, Inside Carolina Players Lounge podcast. Caleb, 2023 is really right around the corner. South Carolina Labor Day weekend. It's coming soon. You got camp that'll open. Good gracious. You guys are already working out solid all the time, but camp in earnest opens in, I guess, 6 weeks, maybe, if that. What can North Carolina fans expect from this North Carolina team? We've talked about Drake May. We've talked about the defense, and we've talked about the running back room. But for you, as a player that's in it, that's in the arena every day, what can North Carolina fans expect to see when the season rolls around in September?
We're going to compete. You know, we're excited to, you know, get back out there and prove ourselves, you know, to everybody. I feel like last year was kind of just testing the waters. You know, we lost Sam and, you know, some guys on defense, and we're just kind of like, I wonder how we're going to be. Everything was in the air. But now we know what we got, and, you know, we're coming to, you know, compete. So I think it's going to be a really fun year.
Caleb, last question. We'll let you go. Enjoy the rest of your day, and appreciate you making time for us, and appreciate Heels for Life helping to make this happen. You've heard Coach Brown talk about the best teams that he's ever coached are player-led teams. I think that transitions just from, you know, not just football, but goes into other sports as well. But you've now, like we said a second ago, you're an upperclassman now. What does being a leader mean to Caleb? When you think about, all right, I need to be a leader, what is that?
Your example. You know, you can't get people to follow you if you're not doing the right things as well. And they're not going to, you know, if you're, you know, like doing like something wrong or something like that, and then you're trying to tell somebody to do something right, you know, especially young kids, young guys coming in. You know, they're not going to want to listen to somebody that's, you know, doing something bad, or like they see somebody slipping up, you know. So, you know, you got to, you know, build your example up to where even if you're not saying anything, they're looking at you and like, oh yeah, I want to be like that. Or, you know, I need to, you know, act right, or, you know, so stuff like that. So, but just building your example, you know, and then once you do that, you know, you don't even have to speak for real. So, but yeah, I'd definitely say your example.
Well, Tommy, there is your answer to the venerable question from the laureate DMX, where to hood at? He's right here with us on the 40 Club today. I'm sorry, on the Players Lounge today. And really appreciate you making time for us, Caleb. Thank you for humoring two old dudes. And again, this is hurting my heart to talk to the son of a contemporary on a podcast. But I'm just grateful for you for opening up with us today. And hopefully, you know, if fans are intrigued by this and want to find out how they can support Caleb and all the other football players that are a part of the Heels for Life NIL Collective, go to heelsforlife.org. If you're watching, it's right there on the screen. If not, heels4life.org is how you can get involved. Find out how you can support these guys as they go through their playing career at UNC. But that's all I got. Caleb, I appreciate it. Tommy, you want to sign off?
No, I appreciate it to Caleb. Appreciate it to Jacob for help connecting us to get this done. And appreciate everybody for listening and watching. And like Joey said, I said it before, don't boo, donate. HeelsForLife.org, the way you can support North Carolina Football Collective, Inside Carolina Players Lounge, all that good stuff. Take care of them. They busted every day on that football field. Win or lose, like Mr. Hood said earlier, everybody competes. Caleb, appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.